Alleluia. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul really sums up so much of our life under the cross with these words. So much of our lives are really about cheating death. Makeup, diets, slimming clothes, bigger, better muscles. We have medicines to make us happy, to mask our pains and hurts, or to numb everything. Our daughters put on makeup at a younger and younger age. We put on makeup upon those who have passed away to keep them looking good as long as possible. We have cars to make us feel younger, gadgets to keep us on top of the latest trends, my favorite, and memories to keep the dreams alive. We long for the so-called glory days, which pass us by all too quickly, as Springsteen once said. But death is no dream. It is very, very real. And while we relish the release of pain and suffering, death itself is still the last great enemy. Family struggles with the question, when to pull the plug, as some so crassly say. It is hard to let go. It seems wrong not to do everything in your power to keep the one whom you love alive. Where's the line between letting someone die and killing them? What is right? How do I know? You feel guilty whether you zig or zag. The pain and grief and sorrow are no less with all of our science and medical technology. In some ways, it's worse. We live longer than our parents and grandparents. Doesn't mean we live better. When do you say goodbye? And how do you know? How many times can you say goodbye? I'm sure many of you have struggled with these heart-wrenching moments. Maybe you're struggling with it now. Death is the last great enemy. The women knew this grief and sorrow as they came to anoint their dead Lord and found him gone. Talk about insult added to injury. You don't mess with a grave, not ever. It's just not done. But there it is. He's gone. He's not just dead, he's gone. Peter rushes in and sees the empty tomb, the linens folded up, all nice in the corner, and he goes off. Mary Magdalene remains at the tomb to mourn alone. Two angels come to comfort her. They ask why she is weeping. Why am I weeping? She says, in effect, to them. I'm weeping because Jesus is dead and they've stolen his body. Everything is gone. I don't even have a place to mourn. Even my home for grief is taken away. Suddenly a gardener appears. Or is it Jesus? He too wanted to know why she wept. She replies a little more politely, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." All she wanted was to mourn in peace. The thought that things were better than they ever imagined, well, it never even occurred to her. Grief has that way about it. It sucks us in as Satan tries to pry and rob our faith from us. But life interrupts death. Jesus is alive and says her name, Mary. In the blink of an eye, everything is different. Now the mourning doesn't seem quite the same. Now Mary can see that when Jesus raised her brother Lazarus from the dead, that was just the beginning. When life conquered death in that strange and dreadful strife, everything that we thought we understood about the world was turned upside down and inside out. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the story of our lives that we forget we actually know the ending. It reminds me of one of my favorite movie scenes in the cult classic, The Princess Bride. In the movie, a grandfather reads a story to his sick grandson. The son reluctantly agrees. As the story of death and romance and mayhem goes on, the young boy gets further and further engrossed into the story. At one point, the grandfather even has to stop the story and remind the boy, "She doesn't get eaten by the eels this time." I know, it sounds silly. It is important as we journey in joy and sorrows and romance and grief to remember that we don't get eaten by the eels, so to speak. We know the story. In the world, death is the end. There is no more story. We either seek to defeat death by taking life on our own terms, euthanasia, abortion, suicide, and the like, or we try to defeat death by covering it up, extending it further no matter what, masking its reality. But Jesus' resurrection from the dead means that death is not in charge. You will never be a victim, as we sang. St. Paul wrote, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him." Death is not your master. Our living Lord has died and risen again so that your dying will always mean life in the end. St. Paul wrote again, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." For thousands of years, Christians have faced death with a remarkable grace and confidence. Doesn't mean we aren't afraid to die. Of course we are. Death is scary. None of us long for the unknown like that. But at the same time, because of that empty tomb and our living Lord, you are free to live or die. It is all the same. The ending still is the same. Eternal life is your inheritance. Jesus has conquered it all. Easter morning, Christ is risen. Come behold the empty grave. We deserved the fiery prison. Hear the pardon which he gave. Be refreshed, renewed, my people, stooped and beaten since the fall. You and him are more than conquerors. Cruel death is killed for all. Be at peace, dear children of God. Christ has done it. You know the end of the story. Sing with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Nothing can defeat you in him. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Everything else, even death itself, pales by comparison. Rejoice, O redeemed, for your Redeemer comes and bids you feast as a conqueror. Alleluia. The Lord is risen. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.